This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Loving the games.
Oh,
loving
so
the
good.
Olympics in Tokyo.
I found it really interesting though, because I was watching the beach volleyball players have a crack. Yeah. Australia beat China, I believe it was.
Again, another sport you would never normally sit down.
No, you're
watch.
Right.
But being the Olympics.
But being the Olympics.
I'm getting into the beach volleyball, mate.
It was so intriguing to me though, because they were glistening, like their entire bodies were glistening with sweat because they're playing in the hot sun. But when they would dive for the ball, they'd get back up and there'd be no sand stuck to them. And I'm like,
right.
I just sit down on the beach and I've got sand in all my places.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of research. Turns out it's actually a specific sand they've had to import from Vietnam to Tokyo.
Wow.
And it's such a fine grain sand that it doesn't stick. It just dusts off. So it's not the average beach sand that would
this is not
stick
just
to
the,
everything
like,
when we're there.
The bags of sand you get for sand pits at
not
Bunnings or whatever.
Not. It's very high quality sand.
Did you ever hear the old beach volleyball commentator joke?
No.
Oh, it's time to cross back to our beach volleyball commentator. Here's Sandy Cracks at Bondi.
Oh.
An old one. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Imagine washing after beach volleyball.
Mate, there'd be sand in places you didn't know existed. We only let her talk about the wedding once per week.
What? Only once?
Yep. This is Gabby's weekly wedding update.
This is the one and only time I'm allowed to talk about the wedding,
it,
but I am going to kind of waste it on something kind of funny, because I've been mentioning this around the office and people are quite horrified that I have put my foot down and banned something from my wedding. Now, this, I don't believe this affects anyone else. Like, it's not like I'm putting a hairstyle ban on attendees for the wedding or anything like that. However, when it comes to the reception, I've banned the nut bush. And I've banned the Macarena. Neither of those songs will play at my wedding reception, and I am making sure of it.
This came up in conversation the other day that you've banned the nut bush and the Macarena, and I said, it's okay, guys. She hasn't banned the chicken dance.
Well, that's a definite ban.
Like that.
No,
that
I,
actually
I
goes
refuse.
Without saying in Gabby's world.
You yeah, actually, that's without saying. I
don't
need to ban
to
that.
Say that the chicken dance is banned.
It's
the DJ
banned.
Should know that automatically. Otherwise,
well,
they shouldn't have that job.
To the point, because you know how whenever there is a DJ, there's always people that go up and request songs. Always.
Yeah.
Whether you're at a wedding, a party, a club, it doesn't matter where you are. People think they can go and request songs. So I've even told the guys in charge of my music that no matter what, even if someone requests it 10,000 times, the Nut Bush and the Macarena will not be played at my wedding if they want to be paid.
I mean, this million-dollar question and the obvious question is why. So much hate?
I hate it. I hate it.
I mean, it's even a good song, Nut Bush.
That's not. It is.
I hate it. Tina's amazing.
I hate it when at a party these songs come on and there's this expectation that everyone has to get up and do the dumb dance. I'm just not a fan. Maybe.
What about the other ones, the Eagle Rock drop?
That's definitely. No one's dropping their pants at
a wedding.
My wedding.
Eagle Rock comes on.
That's not. No one's
drop
dropping
your
their
pants.
Pants.
You do the outside to side shuffle. I love the Eagle Rock drop.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. That happened at one of my mate's weddings in country New South Wales.
Hilarious.
And everyone dropped their pants. So funny. Not happening.
All, you know what we do, guys?
It's not
we
happening.
All throw in a tenner and we bribe the DJ. Here's a 50, mate. Whack on Daddy Cool.
They don't get
rock.
Paid till after the event, so you're going to have to pay
Righto.
Them a lot if you're going to get it on.
It's going to take more than a pineapple.
So I'm very, very set on this. Like, this is a rule that is playing out for my wedding and no one's going to break
it. I can tell because I'm joking about
and
it.
And I'm so serious.
And you're just not on board with my jokes. You're like,
no, I'm not.
Clear,
no.
This is,
not gonna happen.
This is my wedding.
You want to bribe him? No.
No, that's not funny.
Happening.
Stop trying to be funny. He gets paid after the wedding. You're going to have to bribe him with more than 50.
This is a serious topic. Quit your jokes. But I thought on 13, 10, 60, what have you banned at your wedding? It could be a song or it could be something completely different. What did you ban at the wedding? There's been many an example of this over the years.
Yeah, and I think too, like Gabby's
speech, I don't know.
I heard of a best man who was banned from drinking until the
speeches were done. Yeah, I get that.
Fair enough.
13 10 60. What have you banned at your wedding?
I'm worried it's not going to get a lot of calls
because
it's well.
Because brides don't want to admit
it. It's a little bridezillery, and I think the last thing a bride wants to admit is
that they're a bridezilla.
Yeah. So let's just say then, we'll put it out there, safe zone. Mm. You can be anonymous if you want. This is a completely judgmental-free zone.
Yeah.
Because it's your wedding day.
You get to make the rules.
You get to dream about it. You get to make the rules.
But it's 13, your day.
10, 60, no judgment here at all. Just be honest with us. What did you ban at your wedding?
And let's open it up a tiny bit more. Were you banned from doing something at someone's wedding?
13, 10.
When was a ban put in place at a wedding?
At a wedding.
That's it.
13, 10, 60. Morgan's here. Morgan, you did it. What did you ban at your wedding, mate?
Mobile phones and social media.
Oh, yeah. So you had like an unplugged wedding.
Absolutely.
What was the reasoning behind it for you?
I wanted my family to live in the moment and not through their phones.
100%.
But don't you want the hot photos that they'd taken?
That's the photographer's job.
That's why I paid. Yeah, exactly. That's why I paid big bucks for the photographer.
Yeah. True. I'm a married celebrant, Morgan, and I often say if someone's having an unplugged wedding, I'll say at the start, they've paid hundreds of dollars for a photographer here. We don't need your crappy iPhone photos, you know?
And the worst, put them away. The worst part is when someone's got their phone out and they're getting in the way of the photographer. Mm. And they're
absolutely.
How's this, guys? At one of my weddings once, story, you two, like as someone who's been married, Morgan, and someone who's getting married, there was a guest in the front row who Facebooked lived the wedding, and the bride told me afterwards that she didn't get permission.
No!
Unbelievable!
Well, that's definitely banned at mine. Add that to the list.
13, 10, 60. Katie's here. Morning, Katie.
Morning.
What did you ban at the wedding, Katie?
For my bridal party, stockings.
You banned stockings.
Stockings for the bridal party.
Why is that?
Well, we're in central Queensland. It's hot as the hobs of hell here.
Yeah.
And they're just not necessary. You know,
was it a comfort
thing?
Was it needed then to ban it? Because I just assume no one's going to wear stockings in mine. Maybe I need to make a rule.
Don't take the risk, Gabby.
Got to ban it.
13, 10, 60. Hey, Danielle.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, Danielle. What did you ban at the wedding?
So I'm actually a hair and makeup artist here in Cairns, and I've done so many weddings over the years, and nothing makes me more cringe than seeing an awkward bride and groom dance. So I actually banned my husband and I having a first dance.
No way.
Wow.
It is
kind of weird.
Banned it. Told our photographer and videographer that we're not doing it. My husband was so over the moon that we didn't have to go to those awkward dance lessons. And in the end, our videographer pretty much forced us to anyway.
He wanted the footage.
He's like, no. You're paying me. You get up on the dance floor. I need the content.
Do you ever talk on the phone when you're on the toilet?
I spoke to our lady at the bank. On the toilet the other day.
I do it all the time.
It's an important call.
Well, sometimes, and sometimes, like, I'll be on the phone to my mum or something, and the conversation's not over yet.
You tell me you do it
to your sister. I do it to everyone. But if the conversation's not over yet and I'm busting, I'll go while I'm on the phone. But I do it so often, and my family hate it when I do it, that I've figured out how you do it without getting caught.
Yeah, because The ambiance changes. The toilet is a very echoey
place.
Room.
Exactly.
People know.
But I've been doing it for so long that I have really figured it out, because if my sister were to know that I was on the toilet, she'd hang up on me straight away. And I've managed to have numerous conversations with her without her figuring it out. So I thought, just to help everyone else out there, I'd share my rules with you on how to have a conversation on the toilet without them knowing.
If you actually put your mind to stuff that matters, the sky would be the limit. Like, you would be Dr. Gabrielle Elgood if you put 1/10 of the effort into something important that you put into useless crap.
This is way important. This is so important. Okay. So if anyone is on the same page as me, here's what you've got to do. Rule number one. These are the rules.
Yeah.
For talking on the phone on the toilet and not getting caught. Rule number one. Leave the door open. It stops that extra bit of echo.
Smart.
Because it has a bit of like a vacuum. So leave the door open. Do not close the
bathroom
door.
Obviously, these calls are happening in the afternoons before Nev gets home from work.
Not always.
Really?
Not always.
Sorry.
Leave the door open. Rule number two. If they ask if you're in the loo, because they do hear a slight echo, say you're in a different tiled area, like the laundry or the kitchen, which also explains the running water sound.
Smart.
Rule number
You've
three.
You've really thought about this.
Rule number, these are tried and tested. Rule number three, don't under any circumstances flush the toilet when you're done. It's a dead giveaway. Yeah. But definitely remember to go back and flush when you hang up because no one needs that surprise. And finally, rule number four, to be able to talk on the phone on the toilet without being caught. Don't under any circumstances put the phone on loudspeaker while doing your business because that's just rude. Oh, the Olympics are going so fantastically at the moment. And
you like that, do you, Jim?
Yeah,
it sets the mood.
It was like you were running in slow motion at the end of that race. But
that's it. Well, we do welcome Jim Tiernan to the show right now, who is the dad of Patrick Tiernan, who is an Australian long distance runner. He's a Toowoomba boy. He qualified for the 2016 and 2020 Olympics and is currently in Tokyo competing. How are you going, Jim?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Jim, for those who didn't see it, your son Pat, so he's a long distance runner, and on the weekend during his 10,000 metre run, he stumbled a couple of times. His body just gave out, had to crawl across the finish line. He still managed to, you know, beat a record of his own, so it was still a stellar run. That's your little boy out there. You're watching him. Obviously in pain, his body just gave out. How does that make you feel watching that, Jim?
Oh, look, it's awful to watch. I don't think anybody enjoyed watching that. So it was good to see him finally get across the line. And, the fact that he ran across the line and then walked, that was good to see.
See, that's the thing. Seeing him manage to get across the line was just like... I don't know, it's that scene in Cool Runnings where they pick up the bobsled and 100%. Walk the rest of the way. Like, everyone is cheering him on to finish that race, no matter how hard it is for him. He's meant to be back in the 5,000-metre final today, Jim. Is he going to be up and ready for that, do you think?
I don't think so, Gabby. I think that race has taken a much bigger toll on him than he thought it might have. So we're going, we're waiting on news on that today, but it's not looking great at the moment.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I guess what is next for Pat? Does he have his eyes set on Paris 2024?
I was actually speaking to him yesterday and I said, this could be your last Olympics. And he said, oh, I hope not.
Good on him.
I wanted to ask you too, Jim, how hard is it not being there? Because you would normally travel with him to these kind of events, would you not?
Yes and no. We've been to an awful lot of places, around Australia, around the world, watching Pat and his siblings in different things, which is fantastic. All the rest we were either watching on a live stream or trying to get results on the internet. So
God.
It's not something we're unaccustomed to.
You must be on the edge of your seat. I've got to ask you, Jim, he's got a heart the size of a lion. Like to get across that finish line over the weekend, it was incredible. Where's he get that from? Where's he get that grit, that determination, that strength from?
Is it you?
From his mother.
From his mother. Garrett.
She's persisted with me for 30 years. So
well, I think you had something to do with it too. He's just a fantastic Australian. Patrick Tiernan. just to, yeah, watch what he did over the weekend was really inspirational. And, yeah, I know he said it's not looking good, but we'll wait with bated breath for news today on the 5,000-meter long-distance run final and whether or not he can compete. But for now, Jim Tin, and thank you so much for your time, and good luck to you, your wife, and your amazing son.
Look, thanks, Cliffo and Gabby, and thanks for all the well wishes out there. The you know, inflow of support's just been incredible.
A year ago, I didn't know the chief health officer was a job. I didn't know he had a chief health officer of Australia.
Nah.
Coatsworth, Dr. Nick Coatsworth. I didn't know we had him in the States and stuff, but now we hear from them literally every day, our chief health officers. Stephen Miles, he's the former health minister and the deputy.
Jeanette Young.
Dr. Jeanette Young. They're always a doctor. And I got to say, too, I love the way she conducts herself, Jeanette Young, too. Like, she takes no prisoners.
No, she doesn't. She is very serious.
Talking to the media and stuff. Yeah. She shoots down journos all the time. She's amazing.
She's wonderful.
But she's essentially the head of Queensland Health, who have a massive job ahead of them, particularly at the moment with this new Southeast Queensland cluster. And that major task that they're undertaking, we call contact tracing. Again, that's another thing we didn't know was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing, for sure.
About 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And I've been following some of the contact tracing that's been happening during the Southeast cluster breakout, which has made its way to Rockhampton and stuff too, which is really scary. And like I said, I've been following the contact tracing, and some of the places that people visit, it's a bit intrusive and it can be a little bit embarrassing.
Right.
For example, an exposure site at the moment listed by contact tracers is a kebab shop by the name of Fully Tabbouleh.
Yes. What a great name.
Which I think is fantastic.
I think that's a great name for a kebab shop.
Could you imagine that phrase, Fully like facing Dr. Jeanette Young, and she's like, so how long were you at Fully Tabbouleh for? To get the garlic sauce or the chili? Another contact tracing kind of thing that stuck out for me, there was someone who went to Macca's 3 days in a row. Macca's 3 days in a row.
Was that Producer Brooke?
Not wrong.
Producer Brooke, was that you?
It was.
There's a woman named Brooke. But it does take me back too. I don't know if you remember the Sydney cluster from, this was a few months ago, but the guy who went to all the low and slow barbecue joints.
Yes.
Went to barbecues galore and all
no
the different ones.
And there was no explanation at the start.
And people at the end were like, God, I hope he got his smoker. I hope he got there.
I hope he found one.
But the funniest one for me was during a Melbourne outbreak cluster. And there was a man that started at a pub, then he went to another pub. And because they have to list all these out on the websites and stuff. So he went to a pub, another pub, third pub, did a bit of a crawl. Then he hit the nightclubs up, went to a few different dance clubs and stuff. And it was actually Andy Lee who tweeted out, the fact that this crawl didn't end at a kebab shop absolutely blows my mind.
Maybe contact it did tracing, and he mate. Doesn't remember it. So, watching the Olympics at the moment, and we're all warriors on the couch, aren't we? We're sitting there with our snacks and our drinks on our butt, looking at the competitors thinking, come on, you could do better. What do you mean you came third?
I was Australians. We're the worst.
We're the worst.
I was watching the single person rowing the other day. It's just one person in like a little canoe kind of thing. And they go through the pegs and they've got to go around the pegs.
Oh, it's like the kayaks. Yeah.
The kayaking. And there was a woman, she was from Great Britain, who did a pretty average kind of run compared to the others. And I'm sitting back with chips and a 4X summer. And I just made this noise. I went,
right. That's the exact noise that we make a lot of the time. Even yesterday watching the high jump, and they're at 2.7 something meters and his foot touched the bar and knocked it down. I'm like, oh, come on. You should know better than that.
What are you doing, mate? you trained 4 years for that?
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
So I saw a theory that might make our heads shrink a little bit and give us more of an appreciation for how absolutely insanely talented these athletes are. Because if you really think about it, in the final of any Olympic event, that is the top people in the entire world. Just to get to the final is a an amazing feat just to get to that point. Like even, you know, we teased Stephen Bradbury because everyone fell over for him to win. However, he got to the final. But also he got to the final off his own merit. He got to the final, and that is huge. So the theory is in every lane, so if it was a running race, for example, you'd have all your Olympic athletes in the majority of the lanes bar one. And in the last lane, you just have, it's like they're just
not inhumane. Not humane. Superhuman, maybe?
Superhuman. Inhumane is not the word I was looking for.
So according to your theory, like I've been watching a lot of the swimming. Like say there's eight lanes of swimming.
Yeah.
What you are proposing is you would have seven lanes.
Of Olympians.
Of Olympic athletes. But then like lane eight would be Barry from Bundaberg.
Exactly. Because
who's
in
just
every
a 30-year-old truck driver or something.
Yeah. Because in every scientific experiment you need that control so that you can see what the difference is when it comes down to the final race. And we can actually sit on the couch and go, all right, they're actually doing pretty well compared to Barry. Like if Barry's me, they're five laps ahead of him. That's all
it
right.
It gives context to how good the Olympians actually are.
So I'm proposing this, Cliffo.
Cliffo and Gabby, average Joes.
It's quite the average.
I mean,
music
sums it up perfectly.
And our average Joe. I want us to be.
So you're
the
suggesting
Joe.
We become the Barry from Bundaberg, the truck driver.
Yep.
And what? Have a crack at
Olympic times, Olympic distances.
And sports and stuff.
Yep. So if we can find a couple of gold medal distances, times, whatever it may be for that particular sport, and we'll see how we go in comparison. And we can be that control. We can be the context to show you just how incredible these athletes are.
I like it. You don't get much more average than you and I. Like, you know what I mean? Just average. Just
bang not, on average. Not great, I like not, to say, not terrible, just average.
When people go, because often this comes up with my daughter in school, they'll go, how are you in school? I'll say, I was spectacularly average. So I think, mate, this is a role that's going to fit us perfectly.
Cliffo and Gabby, average Joes.
So I guess we'll have to come up with sports.
Yep. Over
times.
The coming days, we will figure out a few gold medal times to beat.
Do a bit of research.
Well, to not to beat, to go up against.
I'm confident. I'm confident, mate. Bring it on. I mentioned on the show the other day, Gabs, I got in trouble at Chemist Warehouse.
Yes.
For climbing up on the ladder and getting the hand cream that I needed because I couldn't find it on the shelves, but it was in the overs part, like on the top of the shelves.
So you used the staff-only ladder.
And I got in trouble.
To get up there and get in.
From a 16-year-old. And that continues because last night I got called out for being lazy at Woolworths.
Oh. Where Woolworths are fresh food people with fresh
ideas for you. And I was lazy, but I'm going to own it right now. And it all comes back to this. I don't know if I've mentioned to you, but I'm selling my house at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I've heard one or two things about it.
A friend at work brought it up yesterday, and Gabby's like, I've heard this story.
I literally went, I've heard it all. I'm going to go bye-bye.
You've been my sounding board. Do you know what I mean? Because it's all you think about.
I know.
And, we're trying to sell the house, so I've been doing a lot of cleaning and stuff. It's just been very, very hectic. And it got to, like, dinner time last night, and nothing was prepared. I'm like, what are we going to do? Everything's like, we got food and stuff, but it's all in the freezer. It requires preparation time. So I just nipped to Woolies, and I picked up three things only. A roast chook.
Yep.
Dinner rolls, like a pack of just six fresh rolls.
Yep.
And a tub of coleslaw.
Oh, I'd do that, but now I would put the pasta in instead.
Oh, you're a pasta salad girl. Yeah. I like a bit of coleslaw. Anyway, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. Let's be honest. It's all just mayonnaise.
Yeah, it is.
I've put these three things in the basket, and I go to the self-service checkout, and I don't know what's happened. Like, remember when they first came in, it was like, oh, you know, they're going to take jobs and stuff like that. Now everyone goes to them. And there's always like a bigger lineup on the self-service area than anywhere else. But my local Woolies has the self-service area. Then it's got the 12 items or less.
Yes.
And there was no one in that.
Oh.
So I've gone to the 12 items or less where there's a young girl there this time. And she's just sort of scanning the stuff. And she just sort of looks at me and she's like, oh, can't be asked, eh? which I thought was pretty brazen.
But also very true.
For a war staff member to say, but it was very, very true.
Oh, one of those days, eh?
When you're just scanning a roast chook, dinner rolls, and a tub of coleslaw.
Yeah.
To me, it's the ultimate Australian can't be asked dinner.
Mm.
But I thought on 131060, I can't be the only one. So
who has a go-to?
Yeah, Queensland, what's your go-to can't be asked dinner? Because we're all busy. Do you know what
some
I mean? You
get to the end of the hard. Day.
Yeah, and you know, I was prepared to cook last night, but like I said, stuff was frozen. I just wasn't, I don't know, I didn't have the stuff
ready
and,
to
and
go.
And the mindset, yeah. I won't lie.
The energy, the stuff, or the mindset, none of them were there for
it
you.
So 131060, there's got to be other go-to options for people. You have to provide dinner for the people around you. But you can't be stuffed. 131060. What's your ultimate can't be stuffed dinner?
Mine's slightly different to yours. Actually, it's still got the roast chicken in there. Because normally it's just for me. Normally when it's a can't be asked dinner, it's just for a single. And so
this is interesting too, because Nev does most of the cooking in your house.
That's why whenever he's away, I get a can't be asked dinner. Yeah. I get a half a cooked chook.
From
the deli. And then I go to the salad section and I get a pre-packaged Caesar salad. And then I just mix the chicken in, and it's a chicken Caesar salad.
Bloody hell.
Done.
That's healthy.
And it's so quick and easy. It's the best.
131060, add to the list.
Yep.
We want your ultimate can't be asked dinner on 131060. Jennifer is first up. Jennifer, what's your ultimate can't be asked dinner?
Oh, the good old SPC spaghetti and toast. Oh.
Spaghetti on toast.
SPC, I didn't know you were fancy, Jennifer.
Well, it used to be Australian.
That's good, mate. It's better than home brand. You're beating me.
If you ever want to up the ante, Jennifer, just add a slice of cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so good. Just carbs on carbs.
With a bit of fat.
With the layer of melted fat over the top. Jennifer, that's fantastic. And that can be breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
It's usually dinner, but yeah.
Yeah, no, good on you. Jennifer's very
put
stuck
it in a jaffle and it's even better.
No, Cliffo, it's dinner. This is how it is.
Yeah.
Stuart's here. Stuart, what's your ultimate can't be asked dinner?
It's got to be the Legos ravioli with the Legos bolognese sauce.
Oh, my God. I hear ya, because you undo the packet, you stick it in some boiling water, and you're pretty much done.
6 minutes and the kids are fed.
Yeah.
6 minutes, done.
And the kids devour too, don't they? And
oh,
I like
they
to
do. They smash it.
In Woolies, they're even putting the sauce right next to the, in the cold section, the sauce is next to the ravioli.
It's like it's the 2021 baked beans on toast.
Yeah, well.
Probably slightly healthier. You reckon?
Nah.
No.
Logan's here. Logan, what's your can't be asked dinner?
Sausages and bacon.
Are you cooking both of these things in the pan?
Yeah, just throw them on the barbecue or in the pan. A couple minutes later, they're done. Stick them on some bread with some cheese and sauce and you're done.
I do enjoy sausages and bacon, but it does sound like a little too much effort for
you're
a can't be asked dinner.
You're thinking what I'm thinking, mate. Anything that requires the turning on of the stove,
the oven, or even
the barbecue. Too hard. The Hit Breakfast Show.